The Sicha for Bereshis is the first Sicha in Chelek He of Lakuta Sichas, and it's a very exciting Sicha where the Rebbe finds so much meaning in one Rashi that it covers the beginning of history to the end of history and the most basic levels of studying Torah to the highest levels of studying Torah, as we will soon see. The Rashi is the first Rashi on Chumash, where Rashi says that the Torah should have started not with Bereshis and with the story of creation, but with the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people, Hachedesh Hazeh Lachem, which was given just before we came out of Mitzrayim. Because the Torah is primarily halachas, how we should behave, mitzvahs. So the question that Rashi is asking is, why does the Torah begin with a story, with the Sefer Bereshis, which has the description of creation, and then stories leading up to the giving of the Torah? Why doesn't the Torah begin immediately with the first mitzvah, Hachedesh Hazeh Lachem? And the answer Rashi gives is Koyach Ma'asov Higid Liyame. This is from the Gemara, that the Ibishter wants to tell us something about Eretz Yisroel and what to answer to the Umay Sa'ilah, what to answer to the nations when they say that we were wrong in taking the land of the seven nations, that we stole the land. And to this, the Torah tells us that the answer we should give them is that the Eibishter created the world, and first he gave it to the nations, but then took it from the nations and gave it to us. And the exact wording is that if the nations of the world will say to Jews, you are crooks, you're thieves, because you captured the land of the seven nations, then the Jews should say to them, the whole world belongs to God. Who bara? God created the world. And he gave it to whom he found worthy, to who was worthy in his eyes, by his will he gave it to them, and by his will he took it from them, from the nations, and gave it to us. Now here's the simple meaning of Rashi, the way it was always understood. We should say to the non-Jews who accuse us of stealing the land by capturing the land of the seven nations, we should say to them, the entire world belongs to God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he created it. Then he gave it to who was worthy in his eyes, which means the nations of the world. Beretzeinai, by his will, he gave it to them, and Beretzeinai, by his will, he took it from them and gave it to us. And on this, the Rebbe has many, many questions. We'll mention just a few. Question number one. Rashi is asking, why do we start the Torah with Ma'aseh Bereishis, with the story of creation? We should start with the mitzvah in Shemos of Hachedesh Hazeh Lachem. Why shouldn't the Torah begin with the story of creation when belief that God created the world is so central to Yiddishkeit? Number two, there are other mitzvahs in the Sefer Bereishis, like the mitzvah of Milah, or the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe, circumcision and the sciatic nerve. What about those mitzvahs that are mentioned before the mitzvah of Hachedesh Hazeh Lachem? Why shouldn't the Torah begin with those mitzvahs? Also, there are many stories after the story of creation in the Sefer Bereishis which are not explained by Rashi's answer. Rashi says that the reason the Torah begins with Bereishis is to tell us that the whole world belongs to God and he can give the land to whomever he wants. But what about all the stories of Noach and the flood and Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov? All those stories are not explained. A third question is when the nations come and argue that we stole the land, there has to be some justification that the Torah should want to answer this question, when in fact the question is not valid at all. We're told that when Noach, after the Mabul, divided up the land among his children, Eretz Yisroel was part of the portion that was given to Shem, to the children of Shem. After that, Canaan is a grandson of Ham, the children of Ham, they came and they captured the land from Shem and took it, and it became Eretz Canaan. So how can they now come along and say that we stole the land from them when in fact they stole it from Shem? Another question, question number four. What does Rashi say in the answer to the nations is that the entire world belongs to the Eibishter because he created it? This we could know without the story of creation. We know this from the Aseret HaDibros, when in the laws of Shabbos, the Eibishter says, Kishesh Yom Moso Hashem Es HaShemayim Ves HaOretz. So we are told that the world was created in 6 days. Question number five. Why does Rashi have to say all the land belongs to the Eibishter when the question that's being discussed is only the land of Israel? Another question. If stealing the land is really a sin, as the nations argue, then it is a sin according to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs is against stealing. Why then don't we find anywhere in the Torah that when one nation captured the land, the country, from another nation, that they should be held responsible and punished for this, for violating one of the Sheva Mitzvahs? So we see from this that capturing a land in a war is not considered stealing at all. So again, what is the argument and the complaint of the nations that the Torah has to explain it? And finally, if Rashi's explanation is our answer to the nations is that since the world belongs to God, he can give it to whoever he wants, and he gave it to us, why does Rashi have to mention Beretzeinei Nosno Lohem? Why does Rashi have to mention that by his will he gave it to them? The question is not why they have it. The question is why we have it, why the land belongs to us. So Rashi didn't need to mention that the land was given to them. He needs only to explain that it was God's will and not our own choosing, not our own doing, that the land belongs to us because God gave it to us. So why does he mention that he gave it to them first and then gave it to us? So here the Rebbe explains the whole Rashi with a unique and original approach. First of all, the Rebbe says like this. When did the Yidden become a unique people? This happened by the giving of the Torah, and just before the giving of the Torah, when they were preparing to leave Mitzrayim. Until then, the Jews basically were a unique category within B'nai Noach. But they hadn't yet become the Am Segula Mikol HaAmim, the chosen nation from among all other nations, that they should be completely unique and not one of the Bnei Nayach. So this happened at the giving of the Torah and at the giving of the mitzvahs in preparation for the giving of the Torah. And that's why Rashi asks, what the Torah should begin with the mitzvah of Achedesh Hazeh Lochem, which was given just before we left Egypt. Because that was the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people as an Am Segula, as a unique nation, and not as a part of the Bnei Nayach. Whereas the mitzvahs that were given before then were mitzvahs that separated Jews into a separate category within the Bnei Nayach. So that the mitzvah of circumcision, for example, didn't yet make the people, the Jewish people, into a unique nation, but rather unique among Bnei Nayach. So the Torah, which is primarily mitzvahs given to the Jewish people as the Jewish people, that began, those mitzvahs began with Achedesh Hazeh Lochem. And it's emphasized and underscored, this month is the first month of the year, Lochem, for you, for the Jewish people, and not for anybody else. So Rashi is asking, since the Torah is primarily mitzvahs given to the Jewish people as a Jewish people, the Torah should have started with Achedesh Hazeh Lochem. And everything else should be learned either in the oral Torah or written separately, but it shouldn't be a part of the Torah. And the answer to this is that the reason that the Torah writes the story of Bereshis and so on, this is in order to tell us how to answer the non-Jews, the argument. Why is the war of capturing the land, why is that not called stealing? It's because God first gave it to the nations and then took it from the nations and gave it to us. To understand the argument and the complaint of the nations, the Rebbe says that the land of Israel was different from all other lands once it became Eretz Yisrael. Because generally, when a piece of property belongs to a certain group or to a person, and then it changes hands, either by being sold, by being given away as a gift, by being captured in war, in whatever manner it changes hands, the land itself remains the same. It's the same land, only before the war or before the sale, one flag flew over the land. And now that it's been sold, another flag flies over the land. But the land itself remains unchanged. However, when it came to Eretz Yisrael, once it became Eretz Yisrael, it became permanently the property of the Jewish people, so that it was no longer the same as all other lands that potentially can belong to whoever captures it, to whoever inhabits it, to whoever happens to own it. Eretz Yisrael became different. It was taken out of that category. It is no longer potentially the property of any other nation forever, but has become permanently Eretz Yisrael, our land. And that's why even when we talk about the time of Golus, when we say Golinu Me'atzeinu, we were exiled from our land, V'nisrachaknu me'al admaseinu, and we are far from our land, yet at the very same time we call it our land, our country. Because even when Jews are not there, it remains permanently Eretz Yisrael. And to this, the nations come with a complaint and they say, how could you do that? How could you steal the land by taking it out of the normal condition, where every country is potentially up for grabs, and whoever grabs it can own it, and you take Eretz Yisrael and you say, no, this land is different, this land can't be captured, it can't be taken, it can't be owned by anybody else. In fact, even according to Halacha, you're not allowed to sell Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews. So this is the complaint of the nations. How do you make the land unique and different from all other lands? It should remain, they say, it should remain like every other land, potentially the property of whoever captures it. And the answer to this, Rashi says, is that Kol Ha'oretz Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hi, that the entire world belongs to God. Not all the land belongs to God. Kol Ha'oretz means in quality, not just in quantity, that the entire land, the whole condition of earth is God's, belongs to God, and therefore He can create the land that it is qualitatively different from all other lands. God can actually change the nature of the land. That this land, the land of Israel, is not in its quality like other lands, and therefore cannot ever belong to non-Jews. This is not yet a sufficient answer to the complaint of the nations, because the nations are saying that originally, by nature, Eretz Yisrael belonged potentially to anyone who would capture it, like every other land. So by what right does God have to come along and take it away from that condition, from its natural condition, where it is potentially the property of whoever captures it, and make it into a unique land no longer available to anybody else? So on this, Rashi adds the words that Hu Bara, God created the world and gave it to who is worthy in His eyes. Meaning to say that right at creation, not later at the capture, in the times of Yehoshua, but right at creation, when God created the world, He created it for those who are worthy in His eyes. And that's Yidden, that's the Jewish people. Which means that at creation, God made Eretz Yisrael unique and different. So that it really never belonged to anyone else, even in potential. That it was right from the creation, Eretz Yisrael, property belonging to the Jewish people. So the Rebbe is saying that Kol Ha'aretz Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hi, Hu Bara, the entire land belongs to God. He created it. He created it is not proof that it belongs to God. We don't need that. Hu Bara goes to the, should be connected to the later words, the words that follow. Hu Bara, He created it for those who He found worthy in His eyes, to the Jewish people. So it's not that it first belonged to everyone and then God changed it because He's God and He can do whatever He wants. It's that it never belonged to the non-Jews in the first place because it was created for the Jewish people. So now there's a new complaint, a new argument. And that is that if Eretz Yisrael was created right from the start for the Jewish people as Eretz Yisrael belonging to Jews, then how is it just and how is it right that God should give the land to other nations, taking it away from the Jews? To this Rashi says that Bertzeinei Nosna Nitna Lohem, that it was by God's will that He gave the land to the other nations, and it was His same will, the same will that took it from them and gave it to the Jewish people. Which means that when it was given to the nations, it was for the purpose of eventually arriving to the Jews as their property, as their inheritance. So when He gave it to the nations of the world, that was the first step towards giving it to the Jews. And on this, the Rebbe explains as follows. In order for the land to become truly the land of the Jewish people, Eretz Yisrael, it has to come through effort. It has to come through Jewish effort. Not just as a gift from above, but as the result of Aveda, where the Jews, through their Aveda, make Eretz Canaan into an Eretz Yisrael. And then, Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jews not only as a gift from heaven, but as a result of their own effort and their own Aveda. There it brings an example. We are told that a child in the womb is taught the entire Torah, and then at birth it is made to forget. So the question is, if it's going to forget anyway, what's the point of teaching it? So the answer is that there is a benefit to learning Torah on your own effort, through your own steam, and absorbing it, internalizing it, because of that effort, through that effort. But no matter how much you learn Torah and how much effort you put into it, it will always be on the level of a created being of a Nivra, as much as a human being can understand of Torah. To make it possible for a Jew to understand Torah on a higher level, the way it is in the world of Atzilus, for this, the neshama, the fetus is taught the entire Torah the way it is studied in the world of Atzilus, so that then, when after he is born, through his efforts, he can achieve not only the maximum that a human being is capable of, but he can attain even the level of Torah as it is in Atzilus. So you have a combination of Torah as it is above with Torah as it is earned and achieved through human effort. The same is true also concerning Eretz Yisrael, that in order for Eretz Yisrael to be truly the property of the Jewish people, it has to come through the effort of the people, through the Avodah. But how much can be accomplished through human effort? How much holiness can Jews bring to the land of Israel, to make it the land of Israel? Only as much as a finite being is capable of. To make Eretz Yisrael uniquely distinct and different, so that even in potential it cannot belong to anyone else, this has to come from above. So right from the beginning, when God created the world, he created it for those worthy, in other words, for the Jewish people. So that comes from above, like the child being taught the whole Torah while it's in the womb. But then it is given to the nations, it becomes the land of the nations, and through Jewish effort, through the capturing of the land, we make the land ours, not only to the degree that human beings are capable of changing a land, but also to the higher level, where we can actually make it a permanent Eretz Yisrael, where even in potential it cannot belong to anyone else. So you have the combination of the godliness of Israel that is produced at creation from above, and the godliness that makes it ours through our own effort that comes from below. And this is in general the way that we're supposed to study Torah, that first the Torah is Chachmasei Ratzeinu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah exists on a very high level. It is God's will and God's wisdom. It is one with God and so on. Then it comes down through the various worlds until it becomes part of this world, which is the world of Asiya, the world of Pshat. And by doing Torah and Mitzvahs, by observing the Torah and the Mitzvahs, on the level of Pshat, on the level of Olam HaAsiya, of this lowest world, we reconnect to the Torah as it is in its origin, before it came down, where it was one with God. It was Torah on the level of Atzilus. This is also the way in which we study Torah. Rashi tells us that the Torah, you might wonder, why Torah doesn't begin with the holiness of mitzvahs as they are given to the Jewish people after they have become unique and different from all other nations. The mitzvah of Achidush Elohim. And Rashi's answer is that you have to start with Pshat. You have to start with the creation of the world as it is a simple world before it is made holy by mitzvahs. And appreciate what the truth is concerning the Pshat, concerning the physical existence of the world. And by understanding that properly, you will come to better appreciate the Hachidush HaZelochem, the mitzvahs that are given into the world. And this is Rashi's way of introducing the study of Torah by showing us that first you have to learn the Pshat and understand the Pshat very, very well and look at all of the simple details. And when you understand that properly, it'll lead you to the deeper meanings of Torah, to the higher meanings of Torah, Torah as it is in Atzilus on the level of secrets of Yoina Shel Torah. And what this tells us, in summary, is that the Torah devotes an entire Chumash, Bereishis, and parts of Shmos to explain to the nations of the world that right from the beginning God created the land of Israel to belong to Jews, but he wanted the Jews to earn it by their own efforts. And therefore, he promised the land to Avraham. And told Avraham that it would come through the efforts of 400 years of slavery. Then it describes the slavery, how we ended up going down to Egypt, and how we came out of Egypt. All of this to convince the nations of the world that the land of Israel, although it appears to be a land like every other land, is unique and different in its quality, in that it is the holy land, it is the land of Israel. And only when the nations of the world understand it and accept it on a logical basis, so that it's understandable to them, then the world becomes a dira betachteinim, it becomes a dwelling place for God, that the holiness of the highest levels come down to the earthiest level, where the nations of the world can understand and appreciate that Eretz Yisrael is a unique and different land from all other lands. And at the same time, appreciating the uniqueness of the Jewish people as qualitatively different from all other nations. And then, when we have that understanding of Eretz Yisrael and of Jews, then all of Israel will belong to the Jewish people, including also the three lands that were not yet given to us, but were promised to us, the Keni, Knezi, VeKadmeni. And more than that, Eretz Yisrael spreads throughout the entire world, and the whole world becomes a holy land with the coming of Mashiach, VeKarev Mamash.